Good morning, everyone. It's Winter Hazard Awareness Week. Winter weather hazard, something to that effect. I've got Dusty Dienst in studio. He not only is our fire chief for the city of Faribault, and there is some fire safety involved with winter, but you're also the emergency management director for the city of Faribault. So that means if the interstate had to be closed, I'm sure you'd be involved in that, right? Opening up the National Guard Armory and all. Oh, I'm sorry. You're at that microphone. I thought you were at a different one.
Yeah, we would definitely be involved in that. When I say we, the city in general, but between Joe Johnson, the Rice County Emergency Manager, and myself, we are involved in all emergency management things. Now,
I would assume that the state patrol makes the call on whether they're closing the roadway.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. We don't really get them in on that. They call up and say, "Hey, we're closing this down," and then we would do our part in the sheltering of people that either were stranded out there and we went out and got them, or they were able to turn off and come in here. Now, we don't have gates on our off ramps. Owatonna has that. So they're typically, they get a little more action down there, they being the emergency management people down there, because they'll shut the gates right down and there's no coming or going. And then they open up their shelter for these types of situations more than we do.
Okay. I was just curious about that. And I'm sure that the State Patrol strategically placed those gates at various places along the interstates.
Yeah, I'm not sure what went into that, and we weren't asked. And you know, part of me is happy that they're not here, because that ends up being a fair amount of work for a lot of different people when they do that, and whether it's the right thing to do or not, in your opinion. You kind of get told, hey, we're shutting down 35, and you guys are going to have to deal with the ramifications of that.
Now, it's not that often, I'll say, and knock on wood here, and this is real wood.
Yep.
It's not that often it happens.
No, and MnDOT does a really good job. We all know that 35 gets a lot of attention. It's a main artery in our state. So it has to be really bad. The ability for MnDOT plow trucks to not be able to keep up with the snowfall rates or the wind and or the wind, and the visibility. Of course, nobody can control that. So,
and I'm guessing Owatonna is that area, because they're kind of straight, and that's where they get a lot of drifting down there, more so than we get here.
Yeah, if you look at like the layout of the landscape from Owatonna north, there's trees and there's other things along the way. So there's really, you don't see gates on any of the off ramps from here to the metro area. But it's when you hit Owatonna and south where it gets wide open, and then you have the wind and the drifting and the visibility that goes along with that.
Yeah, unbelievable. Now, there's different days of the week, just as there is during the summer, you know,
yep,
tornado awareness or severe weather awareness week in the spring. And today, we're, I guess, focusing on travel, winter travel, right?
Today is actually what I show on mine, and Monday is winter storms. Friday, winter driving.
But it says here, don't drive unless absolutely emergency, when there's no travel during a winter storm warning.
Yeah, I think, and we talked about this off air, you and I are not taking the blame or the responsibility for what's coming in front of us tonight and tomorrow. So
well, there's only an inch, they're saying.
No, so. I know it, and I'm happy for that. We don't need to start off the season with a big blast.
As long as it's all snow, I don't like that freezing rain stuff.
Yeah, and the weather stations I watched this morning, they didn't talk about freezing rain. They were talking about either rain or slushy accumulation. So I don't know that we're going to be having the plow or shovel much. They're talking about a couple inches of a slushy accumulation, but we know the ground's not froze yet. And with a little patience, we probably won't have to shovel any of it, depending on what we get. You know, it's Mother Nature. You never know.
Yeah, still got to be careful when you're walking, though.
Yeah, you're correct.
And it says don't drive unless it's an absolute emergency, and most Minnesotans really don't adhere to that, let's be honest.
No, we have a little bit different, our abilities are a little bit different than a lot of the country. I mean, we can drive and stuff where other places we would not recommend people drive, And especially as we get further into, I'm looking outside right now, Gordy, with that black car. It's snowing snow flurries right now.
My first radio job was in southern Missouri. They had no capability, if you had over 2 inches of snow, of plowing, the streets. So it was an absolute nightmare when just a couple of inches fell in southern Missouri, and they had hellacious ice storms.
It's hard to stop the world. We know when we make appointments and we have things that we want to do or need to do, it has to be pretty bad depending on your abilities and the vehicle that you have and where you're going to not go because of the weather. And that's, as you had pointed out, becoming less and less common to just close things down. But it can happen. It has happened when it gets bad enough.
Yeah. And they tell you to have a winter survival kit. I asked Jerry if he had one in his vehicle this morning. I didn't really get a response. But.
Yeah, I doubt that a lot of people have, the actual kit. Now, I know, like in my wife's vehicle, there's always some extra blankets in there. There always seems to be some random food laying around in there. So whether it's on purpose or not, of course, I drive my fire vehicle around, and that has all kinds of good stuff in there to help out other people. But I could also, if I had a problem, I would be good also. So, yeah, it doesn't hurt now to, you don't have to, if you want to bag up all this stuff, and there's plenty of things on the internet that says here's what you should have. But really, in our area here, we're not that remote where if you have a charged cell phone and you have a blanket and a couple things just to tide you over for a little while, helps not that far away in our neck of the woods, so that's a good thing.
You should be able to call someone you're thinking.
Yeah, we have good cell coverage around here. It's really when you're going for a long trip.
North of Duluth up to the Canadian border,
for
example.
You go north of the metro. Actually, you got to get, past St. Cloud, and even think about up there. There's some areas, there's people around. But you get out to southwest Minnesota, there's a long ways in between areas. Of course, northern Minnesota, you could be in some really remote areas. So those are when you don't want to mess around. But it's just good in general to be prepared. We always say that we should be prepared to take care of ourselves and not only rely on emergency responders. There's a chance that if you've gone in the ditch because the weather is that bad, you may not be the only one. And you may not be the first one on the list for us to get to or for someone to get to. So you could have an extended period of time in your vehicle, depending on how many other vehicles need help.
Yeah. So it says here, bundle up, stay inside when there's a winter storm warning, have plenty of blankets, make sure your car is packed with lots of warm clothes to put on in case you're stranded. But as you said, chances of that are pretty remote.
Yeah, and like we know right now that there's a chance of snow tomorrow. So our Public Works and our MnDOT and Rice County, they're all preparing for this. They're getting a few trucks ready. They're going to be on this thing right away. So this doesn't sneak up on us the way it used to. So if you don't know that there's some issues with the roads or weather coming up, then you're under a rock somewhere. Or never say never. A lot of different people in the world, but there's plenty of warnings and heads up that you can reschedule things. You can change your route. You can do things virtual. The old days of having to be at a meeting aren't there anymore. So if it's a work thing, if you try hard enough and look at it, you don't necessarily have to be out when you shouldn't be.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow, outdoor safety. Wednesday, I know, is fire safety. We'll touch on those, but right now we need to get that Linder Market opening report and analysis.
Good morning. It's time for the market update here on the Linder Farm Network on this Friday morning. Joining us, Christy Van On & Company, Alexandria. Ahead of that 11 a.m. report, fairly quiet for corn and beans right now. Christy, your thoughts on how we're looking here this morning with these markets?
Yeah, when you say quiet, I just don't know if it's going to stay quiet once we get this crop report. So enjoy it while we have it. This is such a big report. We have not had one since the September WASD. We got September quarterly grain stocks. We have to remember that quarterly grain stocks was bearish, showed larger carryout levels for old crop. That is going to have to be factored in. We need to use that number. That's a firm number from the end of September. And so we'll use that number, and then it's all up to really yield from there. And what do we see happening with the government shutdown? I'm worried that these are going to be just regurgitated numbers and we're not going to see accuracy out of this, but it's a report nonetheless. Also, at the same time of getting a WASD crop report, we are going to get all of the private estimate or the private sales that should have been released at 8 a.m. while the government was shut down every day. And so it's just going to be a lot of information coming at us at one point in time, and just kind of that first set of information we've been able to see. So enjoy the quiet, because I do feel like at 11 o'clock, this market could get a little bit moving as soon as we see those numbers.
Meanwhile, livestock futures, we could see some volatility throughout the day in those markets as well. You were saying we already have seen some volatility.
Yeah, you know, you're well off of the lows for the day when you look at it for feeder cattle and live cattle. So at one point you had deferred feeder cattle down massively. And now, you know, you're $9 off that low for the day already. And so I just think that this market is trying to decide, you know, how important is this sterile fly facility being open in Mexico? Does that mean the border is going to be open soon? And I just think the market's all over the place. So start off a lot lower, working our way back higher. It brought the hog market with it as well. I think one key thing for the hog markets moving forward is once we start to see exports again, that's going to be huge for this hog market to be able to get that information. But the cattle coming back has definitely been supportive to the hog markets as well.
Thank you, Christy. Christy Van Aun & Company, Alexandria, and Chicago Board of Trade. December corn now 440 and three quarters, down three quarters of a cent. March is at 455 and a quarter, down a quarter of a cent. July up a quarter of a cent. November soybeans up two and a quarter. January 1147 and a quarter, up a quarter of a cent. March 1157 and a quarter, up a half. July 1172 and three quarters, unchanged. And December soybean meal up 30. December soybean oil up 33. December Chicago wheat up 3. And Minneapolis December up 2.5. Live cattle, December 2/19/10, up 10. February up 45. Feeder cattle, November down 7. January down 10. December lean hogs, 79, up 92. February 79.72, up 87. And the Dow Industrial Average is down 371. This is the Linder Farm Network.
Hi, it's Andrew Hoiberg from Calcium Products. SO4 pelletized gypsum is the superior sulfur source that delivers the right amount of sulfur, perfectly matching plant needs for yield maximizing plant growth. SO4 consistently performs in trials, providing up to a 13 bushel increase on corn. Ask your agronomist about applying SO4 pelletized gypsum and learn more at calciumproducts.com.
People's Company is having a live auction selling 80-plus acres of prime farmland in Faribault County, just south of Walters. There is approximately 78 tillable acres with a CPI of 86.1. The sale is being held at the Albert Lee American Legion on December 2nd at 10 a.m. For more details, call Tim Gangle at 507-254-1976 or go to peoplescompany.com. Stay tuned for the latest in farm news and markets throughout the day right here on the Linder Farm Network.
AM Minnesota on the Mighty 920 KDHL.
Well, our fire chief is the, he's a fire chief, and he's also the emergency management director for the city of Faribault, Dustin Dienst, with us today. We're talking about Winter Hazard Awareness Week, which is this week. We talked a little bit about storm warnings. Focus tomorrow is supposed to be outdoor safety. Fire safety is highlighted on Wednesday, and they want to make sure that people check their fire alarms, make sure the batteries are working. If you do what they've recommended for many years, I do this, change my batteries whenever we spring forward or fall back or clocks, you're probably in good shape.
Yep, that's a good benchmark to use every year to make sure that those get taken care of, because they're up on the ceiling, most of them. Some are high on the wall, and they just are up there, and we don't pay any attention to them.
space heaters, it says here, are a big fire hazard.
Yes, space heaters need space. Kind of the catchphrase with those. So we use those a lot. They're a comfy personal heater right by your feet or right next to where you are. But we do have to be careful because it is a heat source. And if you get it too close to something that has a low flammability rate, then you could have a problem.
Yeah, it says keep away from curtains, furniture, blankets. Is it the 3-foot rule?
Yep. And it should have, when you buy it, of course, Gordy, you and I are the most guilty, but people are all guilty of this. It will have clearances either labeled right on it or with the instructions. So some of them could be less than 3 feet.
Oh.
You would need to look at the instructions. A place we always look at them really closely at for the city is at work. Like, people like to put them underneath their desk and keep their feet warm. And, of course, there's a lot of other stuff under desks. So we kind of patrol that because, of course, it's a cardboard box full of paper next to a heater under a wooden, now they're not all wooden desks, but a lot of them are. You can see that being a problem.
Yeah. If you have a fireplace that says make sure you have a guard in front of it, make sure it's locked and secure before you leave the house or go to bed. If you don't have doors in front of your fireplace, make sure the fire is completely out before you leave the house or go to bed.
Yep, a fire, anywhere you have open flame, you need to be watching it all the time. We've said it 100 times on this program, is that all fires start small, and if you're there when that happens, you can take care of it. But when you're not there because you walked away or you went off to do something else, and that fire, either in this case, a fireplace, something crackles and a piece flies out onto the carpeting or something else that's flammable, and you don't notice it right away, it can be a problem. If you're right there when it happens, you can solve the problem.
Recently, I know you guys had a fire call, and you said in your news release that it's the most common cause of a house fire. Cooking, right?
Cooking, yep.
Unattended cooking.
Yep, and next week is Thanksgiving already. It's right around the corner, and that's one of our biggest cooking days of the year. So, again, cooking fires are only a problem when you're not paying attention. And I don't like to work in extremes, but it's rare that we get called to a cooking fire that someone was right there and saw it happening. You can take care of it if you're right there, typically.
So, yeah.
Unattended cooking. They just call them cooking fires. They should be called unattended cooking fires because that's most of them.
Yeah, well, you know, you got the family there and you only see them maybe a couple times a year. And so you go out in the living room while the vegetables are in their boiling water or whatever. And,
yeah.
And you're out there talking to Aunt Gertrude and Uncle Sam. And meanwhile, if things starting to boil over, you know how that can happen.
I'll be back in a minute. There's not many things you can do in a minute, especially have a conversation. So, you're 1 minute out of the room to have a conversation turns into 5 or 10, and then the water boils out of the pot, and now you just have the food in there that gets hot enough, and that will start to smoke and then burn.
Yeah. So pay attention.
Pay attention. Yep, real simple. 2 words, pay attention.
That's during the Winter Hazard Awareness Week, too, the fire safety.
Correct, yep, and that's near and dear to our heart. This is when we see the majority of our fires, and a lot of them are due to heating, of course. We don't have these heaters running in the summer when we don't need them, and air conditioning is way safer than heating. So the cold weather that's coming in front of us poses a lot of challenges to a lot of people. Just have to be careful when addressing those challenges.
And we should have a carbon monoxide detectors.
Yep, so CO, you should have one on each floor of your home. It should be somewhere that it can wake you up when you're sleeping. That's what their main job is. Carbon monoxide is odorless and you can't see it. So you need these in your home or in your fish house or wherever you are in a confined space for a while to tell you if you have CO. So very important. They last for 10 years. So it's a little bit of an investment at the beginning, but when you spread it out over 10 years, it's pretty minuscule investment.
Is it required? I mean, is it a law that you're supposed to have this in your house?
Oh, yeah. All new homes it's been for years, have them installed. Now, there's nobody running around knocking on doors on these older homes and asking to see if you have a CO detector, but you should have. It's for your own safety, and so there really shouldn't have to be anybody going around making you be safe. You should want to be safe.
Winter driving messages are the focus of Friday.
Yeah, and we know every year how the first winter weather driving day goes for all of us. We always like to point the finger at somebody else. But we will all skid up to and slide on our first stop sign tomorrow morning if the roads are that way. So we're all involved in that. We all, the way we drive tomorrow has to change from the way we drive today. And that's a habit that we've had for the last 6 months, and it's hard to break in one day.
Yeah, you need to slow down, number one.
Slow down, start braking a little bit sooner.
Yeah, I shift into neutral when I'm coming to a stop sign.
I wonder how many people do that. I do the same thing. That I don't know that people understand that taking the torque off your tires and the axles makes a difference for stopping.
Former Chief Bill Weishauer, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He was on this program one day and gave that tip on the air, and I've done it ever since.
And it's crazy to think that the easiest way to stop is to not slam on your brakes. I mean, that's counterintuitive from especially all summer long.
But that we're talking ice here.
Yep. Yeah. So we've all, well, most of us have put on the brakes and locked them up, and you can feel like I'm now going a little bit faster or the same speed that I was before.
I remember the first time I drove my anti-lock brake on a vehicle, kind of scared me because it takes over for you.
Yeah, and it's change is hard, and a lot of us like poo-pooed that, and we don't need this, and I can take care of that. I think it has definitely lowered our amount of crashes. Now, maybe not so much the injury and crashes that we see where people die and get hurt, but the fender bender is a little bump. There is a reason that they put those in there, and it's a good reason.
Do you have any tips on how I can detect black ice? Because normally you can't tell.
Nope, you just have to plan for the worst and hope for the best. So you know, like a classic is these busy intersections. So 7th and 2nd, and some of these where a lot of people are stopping. That's where exhausts tend to have moisture coming out of the exhaust pipes. So when you're driving down the road, everybody's exhaust pipe drips at different spots and the black ice doesn't pile up. But when you're at a stop sign, everybody's exhaust pipe is dripping at one side of the vehicle or the other, and the ice starts to build up.
Phone charger needs to be in your vehicle. I think most people have that.
Yeah, very important part of your kit, especially no matter where you are, so you can get help coming. But, I don't know. I guess I do have a charger in both of my vehicles, but not always is that a place where you charge. A lot of times it's in the house overnight. So might be time to go out and get another one to put into your vehicle, or the one in your vehicle takes a beating sometimes and now you have a broken wire and it's not working. So yeah, it might be a good time to put a new one in there.
It's a good idea, it says here, to have booster cables, sand, and or cat litter. I've been putting that in my vehicle for many years now.
Yep.
So if you get stuck, you can use it as, you know, put it under the tires and get out.
Yeah, the sand and the cat litter are kind of twofold. Like if you strategically place them before you have to use it when you're stuck, you may not get stuck because it's a little extra weight over your drive tires. Now, if you have a front-wheel drive vehicle, that doesn't really help you because you can't put it up there. But those of us with rear-wheel drive, put them over the back wheels and that'll be helpful.
Flashlights, batteries, snacks. It says pencil and paper, a few more items you might want to keep in your vehicle. And red bandana.
So I'm thinking that's something that they want you to put on the outside of your vehicle.
Yeah, put it in the window so that somebody, if an officer, somebody came by, it signifies you're in trouble.
Sure. Yeah, that's not one that I've seen like in our training. But any kind of like we tell people when your house is on fire and you can't get out, anything that looks a little bit different than normal will catch our attention because that's what we're trained to look for, things when we pull up to an emergency.
Most winter crashes and slide-offs are caused by drivers going too fast for the conditions. No kidding.
And that'll be tomorrow. There'll be some fender benders if it is as slippery as they say in it. And they're not talking about icing. Of course, we know that the roads are cool and they could ice. But the hydroplaning aspect, that slush slushy accumulations can have on your vehicle. That doesn't seem pretty innocent, but we've all either gone too fast or hit the brakes too hard when you don't have good contact with the road, and you're going to slide.
It also says never use cruise control in wintry weather.
Yeah, you need to be able to let off the gas when you come across the, like 35 is a prime example. You can be cruising in a winter day on 35 and it's just like it is today. Concrete, good traction, but all of a sudden you come across an area that drifted or there's for some reason there's snow there, and just by not delivering that torque to those wheels when you're pushing on the gas, take your foot off the gas as you coast and go across this area, and then back on the gas when you get to good pavement.
Any tips I missed?
No, I think, the whole being prepared to slow down is the hardest thing to convince people that they have to do. You can look at the road conditions, not only just by watching the weather, but Minnesota, Wisconsin 511 is something that you can look up, and it'll give you, I believe that's in red, green, red, and yellow, different colors on the road, whether it's traffic is flowing good or it's slowed down or there's bad conditions there. So you can plan accordingly to your trip, depending on where you're going, and if you have to go, you might be able to utilize that to make your trip safer.
Now, I wanted to leave myself a little time to ask you about drones.
Okay.
And fire suppression. Because I read somewhere where they're starting to use these in some fire departments.
Yes. So we are not using them right now. They take a person to run those, and we're not staffed to have quote unquote extra people. They may all my people right now when there's a fire have something to do. So if we were to purchase a drone, we'd have to assign someone to utilize that, which means something else might not be getting done.
Okay. Your captain, or is he the person or she the person on site that is in charge of knocking down fires?
Correct. So the officer in charge, depending on, it could be a captain, it might be, say that captain is sick for the day, then it's sure. The next person. So when they pull up to a fire, car fire, little fire, big fire, the first thing that we're thinking to do is perform a 360. So we'll go back to the classic house fire, is a walk around that house, looking at all sides of the house, looking for victims in windows, waving a flag or getting our attention because they can't, that tells us they can't get out, whether we can hear them or not. Looking for where we might see flames, of course, or where the heaviest smoke is coming from or not coming from. So we do a 360. That's what they're utilizing drones for. And maybe not as important in a house because we can walk around most houses pretty easily unless there's fences or other things in our way. But where they're really handy is for larger buildings where walking around them is not practical. Take like a True View or a Genio where it would take forever to walk around them. Plus they have, they have systems in them that help control fire. But when they're that big, there could be something going on the inside of the middle of the building, if you will, that you can't see by walking around the outside. So putting a drone up and flying over these can give you some other ideas of where the fire is and what's going on. Now, I believe because our PD has a couple drones, I believe, and they have operators that if they are on and they're available, they will show up. I think the fire we had down here on the end of Central or on First here a couple weeks ago, I believe a drone may have been deployed for that one. So if the timing is in our favor, we can call for them. And I make it sound like they're only valuable at the beginning, but they're valuable throughout a fire.
Well, I would think, yeah, for even inspection to determine a cause, right?
Yeah, yep. And I know the fire marshal's office has that ability too.
Yeah. Well, I'm just curious about it because I read about they're using them more and more. And I thought that makes perfect sense. Why put a person in harm's way if you don't have to?
Yep. And then there's the search and rescue aspect of that, or the wildfire that we can fly and get a feel for the size of the incident that we have going.
All right. Thanks, Dusty. Certainly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Is this up on your website, these tips?
I did just send these to Brad Fino this morning, okay. So with the hope that he'll put them up.
I'm hoping to put them up on our website as well. If you didn't get a chance to listen to Dusty's words of wisdom here on our AM Minnesota program, have a super day.